Howdy do, everybody. Welcome back to the After Show. I am Mike, and I'm joined, as always, by my podcasting partner in crime, Ms. Kelly Grimond. Kelly, how are you doing tonight?
I am a sweaty disaster tonight, Mike. How are you?
I think that is bi-coastal. I am a bit of a sweaty disaster myself, although I just returned from a lovely week away in the mountains. Plug for Long Lake, New York, at the heart of the Adirondacks, and especially the Shamrock Motel and Cottages, the place where my wife's family has been going for five generations. This is actually a motel and cottages. This property is a family-run business since 1917, apparently. They thought it was 1928. Turned out they were wrong. 1917, in the same family, the current owner and his wife, the current owner, Tim and Beata Touchette are the current owners. Tim is the grandson of John Sullivan, who started the motel in 1917, which is crazy pants. Just
wow,
straight up crazy pants.
That's a long time.
It's been in the same family. Great town, a wonderful place to vacation. I highly recommend it. It is small, and it is very out of the way. It was a bit of a scandal when the second ice cream place opened across the street from the first ice cream place that had been there since the 1950s. And yes, and the family still talks about it. But I have been out of commission and out of touch in the woods for a week. So
you've had a lovely week away, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I had a lovely week away. How are
you
doing?
Let me fix that for you.
Oh, dang it. I was afraid you would say that.
Well, the good news is that a thing that you missed while you were gone was a kerfuffle, which has been resolved in a couple of interesting ways at the same time. So,
is this a kerfuffle having to do with some sort of conferencing app?
Indeed.
For the Macintosh?
So you weren't completely unplugged then, is what I'm hearing.
No. Well, this was sort of news before I left. But yeah, this is the...
Yeah. So it started to hit the fan that Zoom at zoom.us, for people who maybe aren't familiar, Zoom is generally a video conferencing app. Like, you can have video meetings in a really convenient way because you just send somebody a link and they click on the link and it opens in their browser and everything's fine.
Yeah, very much like Join Me or GoToMeeting or even Google,
right.
Google Hangouts Meet, all doing basically the same job, which is allowing people to virtually meet with one another using their computers.
And the reason that known associates of mine are particularly pleased about Zoom generally, or were a week ago anyway, last weekend at this time, we're still super happy about it, is because you also have the opportunity to record the entire call, like all of the people talking all of the time all the way through.
Yep.
And additionally, it will also give you a recording of each person individually on the call. So,
the sort of thing that perhaps someone who is producing a podcast would really like to have.
Exactly.
A double ender.
Yes. And not only is it a double, but it's a good, like, safety net, a double ender. Mm-hmm. So it's got everything and it's got each person individually. So I can send you my recording, but suppose something happens in the middle, like I'm in New York in the middle of July and the power goes out.
There's a power outage. I don't know why you would use that particular example. That's so random.
But supposing that were a thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And say, like, I fell off for a couple of minutes until I could get back on the call again. The rest of the call could still be rescued. And, like, maybe even if something happened and my audio was trash, there's still a backup recording of all of that. And I know a number of people who have seen, have had bacon saved by virtue of using Zoom to do their podcasting. So
bacon.
At some point, yeah, bacon. I'm back at that. At some point, Zoom decided that the security feature in Safari that says, like, hey, this thing wants to use your camera, you good? Mm-hmm. Zoom decided that was a bridge too far. And so what they did, in essence, was, I understand that this was in the name of good customer experience. I want people to just click a link and bam, they're in the meeting and it's awesome. And I understand that they were trying to make that experience as good as possible. But the way they decided to go about it was to install a web server on your computer without your knowledge and take steps to make it something that you couldn't see.
Yes, and apparently use that same web server to provide upgrades for the Zoom client, silent upgrades and silent launches for meetings.
Yes,
if you hit a particular URL. So
and
not cool.
Super not cool. And then they sort of came out and like the CEO, I think it was, came out and said something along the line, like, so it was published. This person was like, I gave them 90 days, which is what you do when you find a vulnerability. I contacted them immediately and gave them 90 days to at least publish that this was a thing and that they were taking action. And what really happened was nothing. And so, like, yeah, like, the generous description here is that the security researcher who discovered this contacted Zoom, followed up with them, tried to get them to take action, and got equal servings of both diddly and squat in reply. So he published it. It went public. And people went, wait, I'm sorry, what? And then after about 24 hours of people uninstalling Zoom and publishing articles about uninstalling Zoom, and here's what you need to know to uninstall Zoom, they came out and basically said, like, I don't understand what all the fuss is about. We're just trying to give you a good experience, in essence.
Yeah, a good experience by allowing other people to send us malicious URLs that start meetings and share our camera without us knowing.
Right.
That's not a good experience. That's the opposite of a good experience.
Precisely. And then my favorite part. Then there was a point where people were like, well, it just so happens that all of the software affected by this, meaning my operating system and the web browser that I use on that operating system, are all made by the same company that makes my computer. And so, like, some people, like me, just sat back and waited to see when the fruit company was going to call someone at Zoom and maybe explain to them that this is where Jesus is and you need to come to him now. And
it's a come to glory moment. Well, I mean,
yes.
Apple has, as you, of course, we both know, Apple has a unique power in this scenario because of the built-in malware control or malware prevention that's part of macOS and has been for several releases. Apple can, in fact, disable applications, you know, has a kill switch for applications, and in this case did, in fact, use it, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Apple released an update that just scoops that server out for you, so you don't have to bust out the terminal and type the stuff that I had to type when I found out that this was happening. So, Zoom did come out and say, like, we're planning a release that's going to resolve it. And then they positioned this completely as a feature request. Like, due to the amount of user feedback, we're going to change this feature that's part of Zoom and is totally great. But for some reason, all these people are upset about it. And so we're going to change it back. And yeah, so they compressed that timeline dramatically, first of all. And then, 24 hours after they came out and said, yeah, we're fixing it, or it is fixed, like, as long as you check for updates, it's available to you, Apple came out and said, yeah, the latest Apple update is going to scoop that out for you and save you the trouble of figuring out where Terminal is installed in your computer and how to make it work. So that was special. And it was kind of interesting to watch, honestly. So that was a fun thing that happened while you were gone.
Well, I mean, and what's sad about this is that everybody, I mean, like, as you described some of the features of Zoom that folks liked, especially from the podcasting perspective, generally speaking, a respected solution, not primarily considered a security problem.
Right.
And to have something like this pop, number one, problematic. Number two, the company's response, at least as detailed by the security researcher, whose name escapes me at the moment, was underwhelming to say the least. I think they made a quick fix that turned out not to be much of a fix at all.
Yep.
The web server with auto updates and malicious URLs that could start a call for you with your camera on. None of it is good. And it plays into, it's the sort of situation that my brother, who had previously, we've discussed this on the show, my brother has a a deep-founded paranoia of smart devices with cameras and microphones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unplugs his Amazon Echo and has a is the only person I know, still the only person I know, who has a teeny tiny camera slide cover on his phone.
Oh, wow.
Which they make, yeah. And it's the sort of thing that, of course, feeds into his feelings about the technology, which is, see, I told you, they are listening. Which, in this case, like, no, I mean, sure, yes, possibly, but no, the real problem, the real problem is the you know, the social media apps that are able to sell us ads or place ads for us based on something we said. You know, it's a whole nother conversation. Right. But the point is that this is any one of these apps, and it doesn't matter whether it's Zoom or Chrome or Skype or anything, mm-hmm. any one of these apps that wants to have real estate on your phone, on your iPad, and on your laptop has to be working with you from a position of trust.
Right.
As soon as that trust is compromised, you have a problem. Like, you have a big problem. And I don't know what it's going to take for Zoom to recover my trust. I'm going, if mm-hmm. I have to use it, I'm going to use it in a very sandboxed fashion as best I can.
Exactly. Which is easier now. I mean, to be sure.
Yes, true. But yeah, that is not good.
No.
Thank you for bringing me up to date. I feel better now.
So, one way that I protect against this is there's an app that was written by Patrick Wardle that is called Oversight, and at least on my computer, there'll be a link to it in the show notes. At least on my computer, one of the nice things about this is that this gives you that kind of iOS style warning about something's trying to turn on your camera or something's trying to turn on your microphone. Do you want it to? And it will tell you what that thing is.
Yeah.
So, like when I, like we record this with an app that, shows up in a web browser, and when I go there, it asks me, your browser's trying to turn on your microphone. You good?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I know. So at least, so it's awareness. I don't mind the dialogue box. There's things I can whitelist. Like if it's always this website, I can whitelist this website so that I don't have to click on it every single time we record.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I find that to be pretty helpful. And Patrick has written a few different little sort of specific utilities for that. And shout out to Andrew Orr at Mac Observer, who at one point when we were talking about some sort of security nonsense, because he and I talk about a lot of security nonsense. Well, lack of security. Security is not nonsense. The stuff that goes on around security or in the name of security is sometimes nonsense. And that's what we discuss. And when I have him on the show, we talk about all different sorts of things. And one of the things that we talked about at one point was he said, I have this app called Oversight that Patrick Wardle wrote, and it tells me everything every time something wants my camera or something wants my mic. And it's been super handy. So far, because of other controls I have in place and a healthy amount of skepticism about installing stuff on my computer in the first place, I generally don't find that it comes up when I do not expect it to.
Yeah.
Which is good, but also, like, I just want to make sure. And it doesn't take a bunch of system resources or anything, so it's a very handy app to have. And
we'll take that as the recommendation of the week. I think for those of us who have things like Zoom or JoinMe or GoToMeeting or Google Meet or other conferencing apps on our work computers, where we are perhaps a little bit accustomed to, hey, this thing needs your microphone, and you think, oh, that's because I'm participating in a meeting, or I've already granted it access mm-hmm. on a semi-permanent basis or whitelisted it because I use that tool all the time.
Right.
It's a problem. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that this instance or this incident is going to be the last one of its type, but I think it is a good cautionary. Excuse me, whacking the microphone, coughing. cautionary tale. Tell them I blame Zoom. All right, I'm better now. Better now.
So that was like one big thing that happened. Also, we got new computers while he's gone.
What? I heard something about a slightly new MacBook Air and a relatively new MacBook Pro and no more MacBook, compact MacBook?
Basically, yeah. That's the long and the short of it. The laptops got rejiggered. Sorry to get all technical on you there. there were bumps in the Air line and in the Pro line, and there is no more MacBook nothing. MacBook, the 12-inch MacBook. Yeah,
It prefers the MacBook Null. Thank you.
Yeah, it is now that particular computer is now null. So you know that checks out. So we did get new computers while you were gone, which was an interesting thing. I don't remember if we talked last time or not about Johnny Ive leaving.
We did
Apple.
Not. I think that happened after we did our last show, because it was a while ago. Just on the new computers, it's actually perfect timing for me, because someone who shall remain Mrs. Mike does actually need a new MacBook Air, which is her preferred model.
Yeah,
and it's kind
so
of perfect because the one of the big changes in pricing, as I understand it, was that the SSD, the premium you pay for the higher storage on those models has gone down quite a bit. And which is good,
because yes.
she needs the space.
Mm-hmm. What I will tell you though, yes, the storage has gotten cheaper, but it's the same keyboard that I shan't elaborate on, so that you don't have to edit bad words out of the show later. I have strong feelings about keyboards. I have for basically as long as I have sat in front of a keyboard. Mm-hmm. And the first time I sat down in front of a keyboard was 1984. So I have a lot of miles on keyboards, and I have a lot of feelings about keyboards. I currently hate the chiclet style that was the iteration before the butterfly BS that we have now on the MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. I have an early 15 MacBook Pro Retina. I guess it's a MacBook Pro Escape now. It was the first iteration to come with the feedback in the trackpad, which I thought was going to be amazing, and like nobody uses it for anything except for Pages and or except for Keynote, so it doesn't really do a lot, which is kind of disappointing because I thought it was going to be super duper cool. But I also like that it has, you know, MagSafe and ports, plural, and you know, things like that. I don't like that keyboard. It's okay, but I prefer a keyboard with some action in the keys. And because Johnny Ive, just to bring it back to he left.
Yes, he did.
Was obsessed with everything being skinnier than an Olsen twin, because that's not a dated reference as it comes out of my mouth. I just realized that. Because everything had to be so skinny, you couldn't have keys that had any sort of travel on them. And so whenever I have the opportunity, I bust out one of my Matthias keyboards. I have two of them. One of them is the Laptop Pro, or the Laptop Mini, I think it is. It's the air quote quiet keyboard, which means it's only slightly clacky. And then I have the full-on Matthias keyboard that I cannot remember the name of, but it's white and is massive, and it is so loud, and it's the switches that the Apple Extended 2 keyboard had, and
it's the sound from the Ferris Bueller's song. That's the keyboard sound you want. If it doesn't make that noise, it's not real. It's not a good keyboard.
No, it's not. And even like later model iMac keyboards, like I have an iMac DV keyboard that just basically never died, and so it's plugged into my Mini. Even that keyboard has at least some nice travel. The keys have some nice throw, and so I always feel like my fingers get tired typing on the direct laptop keyboard because there's no travel, and so I'm always like pounding the heck out of the keyboard all the time. Your friend and mine, Allison Sheridan, pointed out on the butterfly keyboards, I think Steve, Allison's husband, I almost said Allison's wife, Allison's wife Steve, he got one with the butterfly keys, and she said it doesn't matter what he's writing, it always sounds like an angry manifesto.
Bang, 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 bang. What are you typing? Like, oh, it's a note to my mom. Bang, bang,
it's
bang,
an email
bang,
to my
bang,
mom.
Bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang, bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang.
Yes. So she was like, you know, like that's like the only thing about it. So I adore my keyboards. To me that seems like a warning. And like, my mom got a new laptop last year, and that was one of the things we sat down and discussed. I was like, I know you don't do a ton of typing. Like, she doesn't have the word count that, for example, I do in a day. Mm-hmm. Being retired is funny like that. And so I was like, sit down in front of this and see if you like typing on it, because my mom also has arthritis in her hands. And so like, if it's going to hurt her physically to type on the keyboard, she shouldn't have that computer. No, so,
well,
and she not. And she mostly doesn't have it hooked up to external stuff or anything like that. So she's not going to notice. You know, she's going to notice the difference very obviously, and she's not going to have a lot of other options for it. You know, she does actually use her laptop in her lap. She just sort of sits in the living room and pulls it out and looks at Facebook or writes people emails or does whatever she's going to do, like sitting there in her chair, and then, you know, puts it back down again. So, you know, having that keyboard be right is pretty important. So I did make her sit down and type on them first to make sure it was going to be okay for her. But, yeah, actually, hi to my mom, who is recovering from knee replacement surgery. So,
yo, Kelly's mom. Feel better.
So, hi, my mom.
You know, it's funny, speaking of knee replacement, I was, the friends we were vacationing with mentioned that the mother/mother-in-law of one of them had recently just had a knee replacement, and they referred to her as Bionic Barb. And which gave me such a start, because I said, I know another Bionic Barb.
I know a Bionic Barb.
Who's married to Steve, Sandy. Yes. And that then gave my friend a start, because Barb, her mother-in-law, is also married to Steve. Different Steve.
Oh my gosh. Goodness.
It was weird. It just was a weird, I had a weird moment of Bionic Barb synchronicity. Anyway.
Wow.
But also to Kelly's mom, we wish you a rapid recovery. And I don't know anything about the circumstances of your mom's knee replacement, but the what I've been told is that today the process and the procedure is like, you're in, you're out, you go home, and you're, you know, basically back on your feet within a couple weeks. So
yep,
kind of amazing.
Yeah, there's like this machine that they like, you have to put your leg on, and it like moves your leg for you for like extended periods of time so that scar tissue doesn't build up, which is apparently the reason it used to be such a problem before.
Yeah.
And so yeah, my mom had to be on that for a whole bunch of time, and she was really not happy about it.
Well, as no one in her circumstance would be.
Yeah. But it was all like scheduled and everything. They were like, you know, she'd had like a little bit of trouble with her knee before, and then so they were like, well, you know, we could just swap it out basically, so
could just give you a new one.
Yeah, you know? More or less. So yeah, there it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned in passing, well, I still need to get Mrs. Mike a new computer, and so and she doesn't have that strong a feeling about the MacBook Air keyboard. Maybe we'll take the opportunity to just go visit one in the wild, or in captivity. I guess technically this would be captivity, to go to the Apple Store.
Yeah,
not the wild. and they're not.
Yes,
shipping.
That would be Mac Samurai, I assume, if you were to visit one in the wild.
In the wild, yes, we'd just go visit Lori. But they're not shipping for another week or so, especially in the 512 store.
Right.
So we have a little time to think about it. But definitely for her going from a 2012 or 2013 MacBook Air to a 2019 MacBook Air will be transformative.
That'll be massive, yeah. And
it'll be a big leap.
The other thing about it was they were rolling this into back to school. So there are certain discounts for educational stuff, and also headphone situation
Beats,
again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of astonishing. So if you look at the Apple's education store, it's $200 off the laptop, free Beats headphones, which could be up to a $400 retail value.
Free Beats! So they did nothing wrong!
It's an incredible deal, and it is available to anyone who is a college student, either entering college this year or currently in college, or is the parent of a college student. Or as a high school teacher or high school staff or high school.
For very wide values of educational users.
For very wide values of education pricing. And it's kind of amazing. So, and this is actually perfect, because we do have a plausibly college entering person.
Yes.
Right now. So if it's bought in her name. The question is, and I think this came up, this was discussed, I think, on The Verge and a couple of other places. But the fact is that there's not a lot of validation that's going into that education mm-hmm. pricing nowadays. I mean, if you were asked...
It used to be strict.
It used to be extremely strict, and it used to be very tightly tied to the institution.
Yes. So
you had to go through the school's landing page for whatever, you know, for whatever educational institution it was.
Right.
And I believe that still exists for K-12, mm-hmm. but for college, it doesn't really seem to. So that's great.
You have to have ID, like you have to show them ID in the store, or if you're going to do it online, you have to have like a .edu email, I think, from a place
in the case of someone who's just gotten admitted, you know, she doesn't have a .edu email yet.
Right.
She hasn't started school yet. She'll start school in the fall. Or
right.
It's, in our case, next fall.
It used to be, I think it used to be, and this is the thing I'm thinking of that's unrelated to the actual back to school promotion. So
yes.
How they verify that now, still not very complicated.
Still not complicated. And so if you are in the market for one of these new laptops or, mm-hmm. or really any other Apple product, an iPad, for example,
mm-hmm.
And you want to take advantage of the education discount, think seriously about who in your circle, who in your immediate vicinity is eligible, and, you know, leverage that person because it will probably not end up being that much aggravation. You could save quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
As we are going to do.
And
I declare that we are doing this. Yes.
If the laptop is not necessarily your jam, if you're looking at an iMac, the non-pro iMac, the mere mortal iMac, the standard issue iMac,
ripping the eye from its varsity sweater, the mere mortal iMac,
the JV iMac, as it were, the not pro, was updated in March. It got, if you go to, I don't think the entry level got the processor bump. I think it's like the mid-level, like, you know, when they have like good, better, best, it's like better and best,
mm-hmm.
got like actual new processors and not the eighth gen, the ninth gen Intel processors. Anyway, all of that to say, they have now started popping up in the refurb store. So again, if you're looking for a deal, and an iMac might be your thing, the refurb store may be a place to do that, because the ones from a couple of months ago are there now.
Interesting.
So, yeah, ninth gen Coffee Lake processors, all of that, which I think those are 8-core, and it got new graphics cards. So yeah, those are now in the... Those are now popping up occasionally in the refurb store, so you can get your hands on one of those if the laptop is not necessarily your jam.
Well,
again,
we
hook whatever keyboard up to it you want.
And then plug in, you could use like fully mechanical switches just on a wall and like hit them with your fists for your keyboard if you felt like it. Chugga-dung, dung, chugga-dung, dung, dung.
Also, speaking of mechanical keyboards, one of the things that a lot of mechanical keyboard nerds are doing now is just buying the specific keycaps for the things that they want. So you can have them be whatever you want. And if you are Isaiah, our friend Isaiah from Your Head Software, he bought Arabesh keycaps, which is a language from Star Wars. And it's really exciting to me that you could have a Star Wars keyboard. And I'm thinking about maybe buying a mechanical keyboard with different switches on it so that I can put Arabesh keycaps on it.
You know what? Okay, go for it. But you know what? I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, I feel like I don't want to say anything that's going to limit our audiences for the podcast. I really don't. And I know we all have friends, family members, colleagues who are keyboard enthusiasts.
Oh yes.
Because I'm not going to say the word fetishist, because that's wrong. That's not accurate.
It might be, but that's a different show.
That's a different show. But I mean, The only time keyboards are like problematic for me is if they're actively getting in my way of getting stuff done. Other than that, sure. Right. If you want to take the extended keyboard 2 ADB edition and wire it up to a Raspberry Pi so you can get USB out of it and plug it into your computer, bless your heart. Go to town.
I never even thought about doing that.
Go do what you got to do. I personally am a big fan of the original Mac Plus with the curly telephone cable style keyboard cable.
That was a good keyboard too.
That's a good keyboard. The keyboard that came with the SE30 was excellent. I have an extended keyboard, like the Chiclet style extended USB keyboard here with my vintage iMac. You know what? Go to town. Do what you got to do. I'm just saying that the more I spend a lot less time worrying about what keyboard I have and a lot more time worrying about the fact that every time I adjust the screen angle on my now truly obsolete iMac, which cannot run Mojave, every time I adjust the screen angle, I inadvertently pull the power cord out of the back and shut down the whole machine. So
hey, Mike,
I want to fix that.
Let me
show
you the refurb store over
please,
at Apple.
Please. I need to be guided to the refurb store.
It might be time.
But like, someone needs to put little pieces of candy in the path.
A trail of Skittles to the refurb store.
Gingerbread crumbs. Yes, I need a breadcrumb trail to take me to the refurb store to get me a new iMac. But in the meantime, I do have to get my spouse a new computer.
Yeah.
And it will be a laptop. And I also, we circled all the way back around from Johnny Ive to Johnny Ive. I think there was shock and surprise when it was announced that he left, was leaving. Also noting that he was going to still be able to do contract work for Apple.
Yeah.
And Apple would be his client. And I think it was, might have been Louis Mantia who pointed out that that's not an option that's available to anyone else at Apple. But like he's an incredible part of the company's DNA. He's an incredible part of the company's design legacy. He also has had some, you know, pretty kind of catastrophic blunders over the years.
Sure.
As anyone would, who's taking risks and who's trying to.
Well, and as anybody who's been at it for an extended period of time is going to do, like at some point they're going to hit a wrong note. Like it happens.
But I mean, I don't think it's going to be, you know, a transformative for the product line or for the customer experience. I do think it's one of those moments where you say, okay, well, there's another piece of the Apple that was, you know, the Apple that Steve built that is leaving the building.
Sure. It feels a little end of an era-y, you know, but also like to me, it just means that stuff's going to get more interesting because there's a different set of constraints now. Because we know how Johnny liked to do everything. You know, it needed to fit under the door of that white room that he always lived, that he was always in, that we never saw.
It needed to be flat.
It had to be thin, 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 and flat, 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 because otherwise it wouldn't fit under the door, you know. We used to joke, even at Ed Tua, we used to joke about, you know, the Johnny Ive diet, like all he ate was like Pop-Tarts and Kraft Singles, because that's all that fit under the door. And,
Kraft,
you know,
Singles.
It's the same, like there's gonna be new constraints given, you know, like sort of set up, you know, by whoever it is that's going to be running that stuff day to day. Now we know who's going to be the head of design, like the head of it on like an executive level, but we don't know who's going to be like in the trenches day to day working on that stuff. And I'm looking forward to it because I want to see what the next person at Apple comes up with, because, you know, one of the things, like, it could conceivably be someone that Steve hired.
Could be.
You know, because people have been at Apple forever. Loads of people have been at Apple for long, 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 long periods of time. And, you know, so I want to know who, like, what stuff is going to look like under the next person to be in charge of what product design looks like and you know, what those things are going to be. Like, yeah, the iPod was cool and that Sunflower iMac was cool and, you know, all of, like, the gumdrops, I loved them and, you know, all that stuff was great, but, you know, it's entirely possible that we're going to get stuff that is super duper cool that we all really want that is interesting in a completely different way. And that's the kind of stuff I want to see. Like, Apple's known for design, and whoever they hired to work with Johnny is going to be of a certain caliber. I mean, you know, they're not going to hire somebody in off the street that goes, you know, I looked at a bunch of stuff and I know what looks cool and you should hire me for that. Like, that's not how Apple operates. So, you know, whoever it is, like, it, like I said, it could be somebody that Steve hired. It could be somebody fresh out of design school with all kinds of different ideas, you know, who doesn't really remember what life was like before years started with two and may not have much concept of the world without a smartphone. And so, like, what is that person going to build? And I want to know. So, like, I'm looking forward to it. And one of the things that I noticed was hot on the heels of the story that he was leaving was a wave of coverage that basically was like, oh, thank God he finally made it official. Because apparently he hasn't been, like, in the office, so to speak, you know, for some time. And so this was basically just codifying that, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to sort of have the reality check of, hey, you know, Johnny, you're... you're not really working here anymore.
Exactly.
You're behaving in a way as of someone who is does not wish to be here anymore. Maybe now's the time to get
maybe going. We can make that happen. Yeah.
it's hard for me to be overly shocked or frustrated about it. I think, you know, obviously he's the fact that he stayed around as long as he did actually is kind of amazing. But we wish him luck. Johnny, good luck in whatever white room you find yourself in. we wish you flat food and fair skies. Speaking of being locked in things, as we record the show tonight, there is a partial blackout in New York City, which is not affecting me or my neighborhood in here in Brooklyn, but is affecting part of the Upper West Side. Our local utility, Con Edison, reporting, I think, about 40,000 people without power, including several subway stations, which is a big problem.
Yeah,
because it means that people can't get from point A to point B. It's also quite dark out now, so they are having trouble, you know, negotiating sidewalks and streets where there are no streetlights and there's no illumination. But it so happens that this is the 42nd anniversary. July 13th, 1977, 42, of the one of the biggest blackouts in New York City history, the blackout of 1977, which I was present for, which I attended as a young person, very young person, and that was something. I didn't leave my house, my apartment for the, I guess, 2 days or so, day and a half, 2 days of the blackout. But at the time it happened, our babysitter, we had a babysitter there with us who years later became my stepbrother, which is complicated. And actually has since passed away. But Scotty, who was our babysitter and then later stepbrother, was there with us that night. And he walked down 18 flights of stairs, went to a store a few blocks away to buy candles, reported that there was some crazy blank going on after when he got back. I mean, it took him like 2 hours to like three, 4 blocks, buy candles. Well, none of the registers were working, et cetera, et cetera. He bought candles. He came back. He walked up the 18 flights of stairs, and then we had illumination. So that was very thoughtful of him. But it was something, and I feel a lot of sympathy for the folks right now on the West Side who are dealing with that. There's a link we'll share in the show notes, which is Carnegie Hall is one of the because it is on the Upper West Side of Manhattan or Midtown West is blacked out, and so the show that was scheduled cannot go on. And I think actually probably many Broadway shows are not happening tonight.
Oh, wow.
Because they have no power. But the Carnegie Hall Choir came outside to do an impromptu a cappella concert for pedestrians and folks outside the concert hall. So
nice.
there's some amateur video of that, and you can check that out. And it's really welcome to New York. But since I've been gone for a week, and to come back and have a power outage feels like, well, you know, it's nice to be wanted. oh boy, what else was on our minds in the time that we were down?
I
have one other thing, but what World was on Cup. Your mind? World Cup, congratulations, women of the World Cup, for winning the thing.
The U.S.
winning
won.
The sports ball.
We won.
Where were you when you were watching the match? It was quite early. I guess it would have been like 8 a.m.
Yeah, it started at like 7:30 on Sunday here, and I got out of bed and watched it. And so I was very excitedly hopping up and down in my basement watching the game and being really pleased about it. And the thing about it is that, like, everything, nothing can just be what it is on its own anymore, because everything has some other sort of, you know, so, like, once they won and they actually got the cup, you know, everybody was talking, you know, like, there were people in the stands spontaneously who started chanting equal pay, along with all the people that were chanting USA, USA, which was really gratifying, like, to see that people were validating that, you know, not that it needed validation, but no, it was nice to know that other people were paying attention to it. So that was pretty great. And, you know, of course, some of the coverage of the aftermath was sort of ridiculous. You know, nobody talks about how much champagne the World Series champions drink or anything like that. You know, but it was a big deal that they were drinking it, you know, how much the women's team was drinking, how much champagne they were having, whatever. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was really fun to watch the games. Like, for me, that was the biggest thing, was like, it was just really fun sporting event. Like, I casually follow the Timbers here in town. I casually follow the Thorns here in town. There were 9 people. So the Thorns are our women, our soccer team. The Timbers are our men's soccer team. Because I tried to do this last time and now I'm just going to make it a habit. It's soccer and men's soccer now. Please update your records. So from the...
For your notes.
Yes, for the Portland Thorns, there were 9 members of the Thorns that went off to play on national teams. 4 of them went to the U.S. and the other 5 went to other countries where they were from and went and played for their home country's national team in the World Cup. So we were down 9 players for the whole time that was happening. And so they're all just now coming back. So we have a few of those. Megan Rapinoe plays in Seattle. So there was a whole lot of conflict in my heart as that was happening, because Seattle's always our rival when it comes to sports. And so having her play for the Rain up there is sort of aggravating, because, like, I have to kind of root against her the rest of the time, which is kind of a bummer.
Because, and the problem is, of course, now she's officially the queen of everything, so it's sacrilegious almost to root against her, but you have
exactly.
to.
Exactly. And so, like, so that, you know, that's kind of frustrating. But also, like, there were 9 people from the Thorns who went on to play. And I'm trying to find the list of people. It was really exciting to get to see like hometown folks, you know, that were playing there. Because some of them are people that are known. Lindsay Horan is on the Thorns. Tobin Heath is on the Thorns. You know, those are names that people recognize if they were following the teams at all. And it was really great, like, just as sports to get to watch. It was a lot of fun to get to watch those ball games. And that was one of the things that I sort of enjoyed about the last couple of weeks, was that. And also because it wouldn't officially be the after show anymore if we don't talk about it, even though it's the off season. There's something happening in Las Vegas right now called NBA Summer League.
The Summer League.
Which I have enjoyed.
Makes me feel fine. Playing basketball in Las Vegas. I, I have spent approximately 6 hours today listening to Yacht Rock on Sirius XM. So
my goodness.
Summer Breeze is top of mind. By the way, we have come to the conclusion that that the Christopher Cross song, Ride Like the Wind, with you may or may not be familiar, is the perfect Yacht Rock song because it is a Christopher Cross song.
Which is already an advantage. Yes.
It's an advantage. It talks about riding a horse or riding some sort of conveyance, which is important for Yacht Rock, but it also features Michael McDonald on backup vocals, which is necessary.
There it is.
That is a prerequisite for being the ultimate Yacht Rock song.
Yes.
If you listen to that station, approximately half the songs have Michael McDonald on back. Either it's a Doobie Brothers song or a Michael McDonald song, or he's on backup vocals. It's amazing. And Mrs. Mike was like, how do you know it's his? It's him. I was like, he has a very distinctive voice.
Oh, no, you know exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But I didn't mean to interrupt Las Vegas. Yes, Summer League, Basketball Jones. It's happening. It's a thing that's happening.
Yes. It was fun. I've been like sort of casually watching some of the other games. So Summer League is a whole, now I feel like I have to say it that way. Summer League
makes is like a whole fine.
It's a separate thing. Like it's its own universe. A lot of teams, I feel like I have to take everybody to Summer League school now. Maybe that's the title of the show. Generally, this happens after like a bunch of trade, like the trade stuff is opened, the free agency stuff has happened, and the draft has happened. So this is a good way for teams who have picked up a few players here and there through various means to put some of them together, put them on the floor, and see what they can do. So if you've drafted somebody fresh out of college and you've got you know, a couple of other people that you picked up, maybe you've got a free agent here and there. You can, like, you get to see what they can do. You can figure out like how they operate, what that unit looks like together. And so generally you're not going to see Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum play in Summer League ball. That's what I'm saying.
No, not going to happen.
LeBron's not there. Kawhi Leonard's not there. He made a bunch of news. Oh my God, the West is going to be bananas this year because we just need to get Kelly back and he and I can have a whole conversation about this because like the West is going to be bananas this year. There's been a whole bunch of trading and like the kind of the hilarious part of all of it is that what made the West interesting was not Golden State and the Lakers are not even part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And even with LeBron, like they are still not part of this conversation. So, yeah, because everybody went to the Clips. Kawhi Leonard is a Clipper now. A Clipper. Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. Why do I know that name? Because he led the Raptors to the championship.
Yes.
They are the champions. And he left the Raptors to go where? The Clippers. He went to the Clippers.
See, even when you say it, doesn't make like it sounds like something somebody would make up.
Right? Yeah. Like when I first heard that, you know, like everybody was on Kawhi watch and I'm like, why? Why does he not stay in Toronto? Like, how do they not love him? You know, he gave them a trophy. And apparently, no, I don't watch a lot of teams, let alone a lot of like teams sort of in the East. I don't watch a whole lot of them very closely. Like I will watch the ball games, but I don't watch a lot of the like inside baseball of basketball teams or anything like that. So like on that side, I don't know like if he was unhappy or anything like that. Like I don't know the story of what caused him to go West, but he's a Clipper now. And so for him to be a Clipper and, you know, for Durant to leave, Durant got traded off the Dubs and there's been a few other really interesting trades that have fundamentally changed a few teams here and there. Paul George is now a Clipper. There was a whole bunch of like trading that happened in order to make this work, but Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the Clippers make the Clippers a deeply interesting team. And Golden State is sort of not, like, they're not what they were. Right, I believe they have diminished and must now go into the West, and they're going to be a mere mortal team.
Yeah, now you say
like
that
the
as
rest
though,
of us.
Now I've got Steph Curry as an elf in my head, and it's not going away. First of all, they're already in the West; they can't go into the West. That would put them in the lake or the Pacific.
I know.
Secondly,
it would put them in the Bay, I guess, if we're going
to
be specific
the,
about
the
it.
The Bay. Well, no. Once they move to San Francisco and they go west, they will be in the Pacific.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Now, like they have to swim across the Bay to get from Oakland to San Francisco, where they will be playing next year. I think next year. Yeah, it was these were the last games in Oracle. Was the finals. Yes. Yeah. So I know our listeners are.
Cousins is not on the Dubs anymore. Like they're like a whole bunch of stuff has happened that make this seem like they are now a mere mortal team. Like yes,
it's the end of an era.
Yeah, I mean, wait, I have to make sure I'm talking about the right Curry. Steph is a great player, no question.
Yes,
like and a good dude. Like, on top of that. So, like, it's hard to hate on him. Because, like, he's a decent fella. But, seriously. So, it's, like, they're not what they were. You know, and that's not to say anything bad about him or anything. Like, you know, he's still going to be awesome. And he's still going to be able to sink a shot from anywhere on the floor. And it's not even going to matter if his eyes are open. And I get that. And none of that has changed. But the folks around him are very different now. And I don't know what that looks like yet. Which means they could end up being a mere mortal team. Like all the other teams in the West. You know, this makes them much more like the Lakers. If it's going to be LeBron and his backup dancers. And it's going to be Steph Curry and his backup dancers. I'm sort of mad at the Curry's parents now because why do their names rhyme? It's not fair. Seth isn't a Blazer anymore. Seth Curry is not a Blazer anymore. We also, Aminu is now in Florida. Myers Leonard got traded. On the one hand, I'm sad about that because I always thought Myers got kind of the short end of the stick. But on the other hand, I'm really excited because a lot of people used to complain that Myers needed to be traded and what good was he, and they loved to hate on him. And so now, like, all the Blazer complainers have to find a new thing to whine about, which I'm sort of glad to see. What's the complaint going to be now? If y'all were mad about Myers and now Myers isn't on the team anymore, then, you know, what are you going to do? We saw some good stuff from Gary Trent Jr. and Anthony Anthony Simmons during the summer league play. So I'm waiting to see where they rotate into the lineup when we get Nurkic back. He's going to be great. As a game, like if you're a person who thought like it might be fun to, you know, watch some basketball, like this year's going to be a good year to watch some basketball. A lot of stuff isn't looking as lopsided as it used to anymore. You know, like there was a stretch where like if the Bulls were playing, the Bulls would win. And that was kind of the end of it. And like they didn't lose, you know, just like the Dubs. Like this year is going to be a year where like going into any ball game, it's not necessarily going to be clear who the winner will be. And so this is going to be a good year to watch a lot of fun basketball. I think I'm calling it now. That this is going to be a good year to watch the NBA, and you should. You should watch and then give us feedback about it on the show so that we can talk about ball games. That would be fun.
Well, I mean, and what I was going to say is that it's not usual for us to in the summer to be talking about basketball early.
It's not.
So for those who want us to continue to talk about technology and other stuff and blackouts, you know, we can do that. But just there's a lot of excitement and a lot of variety that's coming up. And as Kelly points out, the balance of power in the league may be shifting rather dramatically. So this is going to be something to see. But the thing I wanted to talk about while we still have time, because we're closing in on an hour. So in 2 weeks as we record this. No, yes, 2 weeks. 2 weeks as we record this in scenic rural Illinois, not too far from Chicago. Yes. There'll be a little thing going on called Mac Stock Expo.
Yes.
Mac Stock Expo is the tiny little trade show that could. Not even a trade show. Don't even want to call it a trade show. It's an enthusiast gathering. There will be great speakers. There will be some vendors. There will be socializing. There will be people flying drones. There will be, at a minimum, currently guaranteed to appear or expected to appear, and not appear in the sense of present, but appears in the sense of be there. Myself, Ms. Kelly Guimont, and I believe also Mr. Brett Terpstra will be there, scheduled to be there. David Chartier may be there. Dave Hamilton might be there.
Chuck Joyner's probably going to be there.
Chuck Joyner's probably going
to
be there.
He does the Road to Macstock. You can always check out his show for that.
Steve, the Sheridans are probably going to be there.
Odds are good.
Odds are good.
Allison and her wife, Steve.
Allison and her wife, Steve. Let's see who the actual confirmed speakers are. Yes, Chuck is certainly going to be there because he's doing the Road to
Macstock. Yeah,
the Road to Macstock. There's the Macstock 2019 Film Festival.
Yes.
Rick Cartwright, Tim Robinson, Mike Schmitz, Wally Cherwinski, Kirsten Sea, Dave Ginsberg, Guy Surly, Stephen Hackett, Allison Sheridan, Chuck Joyner, David Sparks, Max Sparky will be there.
Yes.
Rosemary Orchard, Brett Terpstra, Josh Wrench, and more. It's going to be fun.
Related,
be fun.
Related to Max Talk. David Sparks, for people who don't know, over at maxsparky.com, has done a series of field guides on various things. Mm-hmm. And he recently released all of the field guides he has available are on a new platform. I think it's Teachable. And what's cool about his field guides, like you can check all of them out and everything. But what's cool about them is that there's video and then there's like the related material that goes with them. And he really digs in when it comes to like whatever it is that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. He really digs into them and really puts them together in a really great way, digs in, makes all of this stuff happen, helps walk you through everything. And his field guides are great. And most recently, he's got the Keyboard Maestro field guide. There's a Siri Shortcuts field guide. There's one for Hazel. And they are super duper great. I've been digging through the Keyboard Maestro one, and like very, very early, I think I'm 27% of the way into it or something. So I've basically watched like all the introductory stuff, and even just the triggers, like the certain ways that you can cause a macro to kick off that was built in Keyboard Maestro. Even just that has changed like the way that I'm going to be able to use Keyboard Maestro for stuff, because it's super great. The learning in them is really approachable. Like, I really don't know a lot about Keyboard Maestro, and I'm learning tons about it already. And like, if you're really good at Keyboard Maestro and you just have a different approach, there's probably something in there for you as well. And with the Siri Shortcut stuff, like if you've been trying to dig in and don't really know where to start or don't have a good reason to use a shortcut, and you know, don't really know how to get going with them, even though you think they might be cool, David makes all of that really approachable. And he's not paying me there, you know. David's not a sponsor of the show or anything like that. I just have been using them myself and getting so much mileage out of them, and they've been super duper useful. And their video, but also audio. So like, there's some where it's just video of David speaking, and so like you don't have to necessarily be glued to your computer all the time. I generally have been watching them on my iPad, and then like when there's something that I want to work through, going to my computer and working on stuff that way. But it's been they've been really interesting. They're super useful. I picked up his Mac Tips books, which he did with Brett Terpstra, Volume 1 and Volume 2, 60 Mac Tips, and There's lots of stuff in them that's always really useful. And what I have found is that even if it's an app that I use a lot that I'm really familiar with, there's always something in the field guide that I didn't realize or that I didn't know you could do that way. And that's always really, really great. So if I know I picked something earlier, and I talked about how much I love my keyboard, but honestly, this would be my pick this week is the Max Sparky field guides, because so far I've been through a few of them and they've all been great.
Well, and David is a great person and a great writer and a very such a capable communicator. If you've ever seen one of it, worked with any of his field guides, you've said to yourself, how can I make myself more efficient? How can I make myself a better operator of my tools? Mm-hmm. You cannot go wrong with the Max Sparky field guides. They are really, really well done.
Yeah.
And again, field guides, not yet a sponsor. They're really good. Kelly and I on the show, we have the luxury of not recommending stuff that we don't personally like. It's the advantage exactly. of having no budget and no sponsors. So
it's one of the nice things about nobody being yet a sponsor. Is that no,
when that happens, we need a canary. We need like to say, so company X, which we used to say was not yet a sponsor, they're doing amazing stuff. Check out their cool things. We'll do it sort of in the absence of saying that. But all that to say, MaxSoc 2019 coming up July 27th and 28th in scenic. What is the town name?
Is it Crystal Lake?
McHenry. It's in McHenry County, in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Yes. So it's a little bit out of the way. You will want a car to get there from Chicago or from points nearby, but it's so worth it. It's 2 days of great content, great people, really interesting. We will be there. I suspect with this, you know, plans are still in flux, but I suspect that Kelly and I will be recording a live episode of the after show, possibly with some very special guests who will walk in and just sort of show up, which means we probably in the next 2 weeks should get like real equipment, like a mixer or something, maybe to be able to do in-person recording. Yeah. Although the ground will be thick with podcasters. This is one of the few environments where if you were to pick up a cat and swing it, you would hit a podcaster.
Oh, you can't swing a strip of bacon at Max Talk without hitting a podcaster.
You can't swing a vegan panini. Vegan panini. You can't swing a vegan panini. You can't swing a gluten-free custard pie at Max Talk without hitting a podcaster, possibly two.
And they might be offended because vegan custard pie. I mean, honestly.
No. Gluten-free custard pie.
Oh, gluten-free custard pie.
Vegan panini.
Vegan panini. Yes.
Vegan panini, by the way, my code name. It was the name of my elfin warrior character, actually, in an early Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Vegan panini. Before anybody knew what vegan or paninis were, back when I played Dungeons & Dragons in the early 1980s. And Kelly believes that used to be my exotic dancer name. That is incorrect. That is a
rats.
A myth.
The whole point of putting it in the chat was so that you would just crack up at it and not call me out.
I've been doing this too long. You can't get me that easy.
Fine. Isn't vegan panini the name you used to dance under?
It's well, you know, that's what they put on the marquee. But I.
Then yes, literally, it was the name you danced under.
She was the star. I was simply the opening act. Kelly, now that we've descended into madness, where can the people find you? In addition to at MaxDoc in a couple weeks.
Well, before they can find me, we have to shout out to people.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. It's been long since we did it. So hello, Chris Fuller. Hello, Tony Walla. Hello, Deidre. Hello, Lenny.
I was just going to say, hi, neighbor Lenny. Former neighbor Lenny? Is he former?
No, well, he's still current neighbor Lenny for a little while longer. Right. Hello, Kelly. Hello, phone boy. Hello.
Hi, Info Driveway. Hi, Brittany. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Brittany. Hi, Dan. Hi, Dave McGee. And we're going to have to do, I think we talked about this last time, we're going to have to start doing a special once a month or once a year episode where all we do is shout outs.
Yes. Yes. And I would like very much if that were an episode of Consequence. So to anyone who's wondering how to get into the not really all that secret club of people who get shouts out on the show, all you have to do is publicly confess that you listen to the after show in a way that either Mike or I can see it. And then we will add you to the list of people that talks about
and,
being on the show.
And hey, Waffle Juice, who liked that we just published our most recent episode. And I do want to give a shout out for our friend of the show, Kelly O'Coin. Kelly was just finished a run off Broadway in a great play called Long Lost, which I got a chance to see. Was delightful. Delightful, kind of creepy and weird and awkward family drama, but it was really good and he was very good in it. And he the writer's room is open for season 5 of Billions. I don't know when they go back into production. But the most important part of the shout out to friend of the show, Kelly O'Coin, is happy 20th anniversary, which he is celebrating with his lovely wife, Carolyn, I believe either later this month or early next month. So congratulations.
Yeah.
And congratulations to me and Mrs. Mike, as we just celebrated our 20th anniversary on July 4th. We've been married for 20 years.
Wow.
Which is astonishing.
Yeah, y'all are a year ahead of me, because in a few weeks, we will be at 19, because we got married right there at the aughts. At the aughts.
Right in the aughts. August of the nulls. caught him right in the nulls.
Right in the nulls.
It was a line drive up the middle, caught him right in the nulls.
Squaw in the nulls, yes. yeah, it was the last day of July at Timberline Lodge. So there you go.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, happy anniversary to you and Mr. Kelly.
And happy anniversary to you and Ms. Mike.
Thank you very much. And where can the peoples find you?
Now that we're actually to that point in the show, I will answer you. You can find me on Twitter as Verso. You should find me on micro.blog as Verso. You can occasionally find me on the Incomparable Network, and I will tell you that's going to happen with more regularity very, very soon, because next week, is San Diego Comic-Con, and there is going to be a Westworld panel at San Diego Comic-Con. I am hopeful that there will be some new footage for the third season of Westworld at San Diego Comic-Con, and if that is the whatever comes out of Comic-Con news-wise for that, that's going to be the kickoff for my close personal friend Don Melton and I to spin up an episode of Greetings from the Uncanny Valley, our Westworld podcast over on the Incomparable. And
to which I say, whenever somebody mentions it, that doesn't look like anything to me.
And I just want to know how many times people mentioned it to you, because I'm always thrilled when I find out somebody's listening. And that's going to kick off our rewatch, where we go all the way through both seasons, because we did a rewatch of season 1 and before season 2, and then we did season 2 and we kind of took a break, and so now we're going to go through both seasons all the way, and then we will and then hopefully that will take us far enough into 2020 that we will end up with new Westworld to watch. There's been a trailer that was released. They put out an ad just before the final episode of Game of Thrones. For a lot of people, the commercial before the show officially started, the series finale officially started, was this trailer, this sneaky peek at what the next season of Westworld's going to look like. And if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It's really cool. And so whatever comes out of Comic-Con, that's going to be the kickoff for Don and I to bring back the Uncanny Valley. So for people who are curious, that's another place that you can find me. And the rest of the time, you can find me 5 mornings a week hosting the Daily Observations podcast over at macobserver.com. And occasionally writing up something over there explaining something that is easy to do that you should be doing, or the occasional cool stuff found.
Awesome. And you can find Kelly also at Verso at micro.blog and on the Twitters. And you can find me at Mike T. Rose on Twitter. And of course, you can find our show, The After Show, at aftershowpodcast.com and the underscore. Wow.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry. Mike's out of words, and he ran out before we stopped recording.
Mike's gonna restart his loop and reset. You can find the show on Twitter at the_aftershow.com. Thank you all for joining us. We will be back in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, stay cool. Hope the lights come back on wherever you are sometime very soon.